Well, we welcome our brother in the Lord's great name. He's minister of our church in Bangor now. I think he's been there since 1999. He can correct me if I'm wrong. Before that, he laboured in Clogher Valley and then also over in Dromore Church as well for a number of years. But welcome our brother. We booked him, I think it was maybe June last year. That seemed quite a while ago. It's hard to believe how quickly time goes, but we've been praying for him. We encourage you to pray for him as well, night by night, that he will know the Lord's help, the Lord's strength, the Lord's wisdom, and the guiding hand of God, the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of the Word this week. The Lord bless you.
Well, we do thank Mr. Porter for the very kind welcome given to us tonight, and thank the members of the session for the invitation to come and preach the Word of God at these special meetings. As your minister has said, midweek things weren't so rosy. I was running a temperature and things just weren't so good. And I haven't even had a cold through the winter, never mind the flu thus far. And so I was pleased with myself. For if anybody would know me, if a blast of wind hits, it's a cold. It's very difficult to escape the cold. So I was thankful for escaping it to this moment. But it had to come on this past week. And when I was so poorly on Tuesday and Wednesday, I thought I had better phone the minister and let him know. Give him warning. But we're grateful to the Lord for answered prayer and for his hand that has been upon us for good. We've been drinking liters of water, and it's good to flush out the system, and it seems to have done the trick. So I'm not here bringing something that you don't need. So I'm confident that I'm well and not conveying a virus to you. Now, please remember all of these meetings. I consider these subjects to be of absolute importance. They are vital. As we look out on society, what do we see in 2015? We see people that are doing that which is right in their own eyes. They're doing their own thing. And the result is confusion, mayhem, the breakdown of order. The moral fiber of society is being rent asunder. Parents in many instances have lost control. We have a generation of undisciplined children. Young people are being exposed to an endless bombardment of that which is sensual, immoral. So it is imperative that we hear the Word of God. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And these messages will be all interrelated. And so it is essential to be along night by night, and we trust that you have set aside each night, determined to be here. Tell others about the meetings, as your minister has encouraged you to do. Bring them with you, and we will endeavor to run the meetings to time. Pray every day. I need your prayers more than I can convey to you by my words. Do come early if you can and join with us in the prayer meetings prior to every service. Now, as has been announced, the matter for our study tonight is marriage, the bedrock of society. And we're going to read together in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're reading at verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Amen. And we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer as we come to the word. Our loving eternal Father, we do thank thee this Sabbath evening that we have the privilege of coming to thy house, coming to thy word. We know that thy word is truth. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we pray that thou wilt guide our footsteps in this day of spiritual darkness, apostasy, and departure from God, a day when society has corrupted itself, when sin is added to sin. We pray that thou wilt give to us the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Lord's ways, and help us to understand what the will and the purpose of God for our lives, our homes, our families is. Oh, come, Lord, and bless us here. Pour out thy Spirit mightily, and grant, Lord, that the word of God will run and have free course, and thou wilt strengthen every believer and those, Lord, in this meeting that are without thee. In thy great mercy, draw them to thy riven side, and to thee we will give the glory, for thou alone art worthy. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. The family, the first social unit designed by God, has fallen on hard times. Today, in many countries, the divorce rate is approximately 1 in every 3 marriages. The family home, the unit, is of paramount importance. The family is at the heart of the stability of the nation and of civilization itself. If the family crumbles, society crumbles with it. The bedrock of the family is marriage, wedlock. It is not by chance that the Institute of Marriage and the first home are found in the beginning, here in the book of Genesis. A woman was speaking one day to others about her husband, and someone asked her, "Well, where did you meet him?" "Oh," she said, "I met him in a travel agency. He was the last resort." Well, marriage is not God's last resort. It is his first institution, and therefore it is foundational to everything. Way back in 1888, the Supreme Court in America voiced its opinion on marriage. It said, "Marriage is an institution, the maintenance of which, in its purity, the public is deeply interested, for it is the foundation of the family and of society, without which there would be neither civilization nor progress." The Supreme Court was right. It is the divine purpose that the home, the marriage, is the foundation of society. The honor and dignity placed on marriage is clearly seen in Genesis chapter 2, where God himself performed the first marriage ceremony. We will begin these few messages on the family where it all began, in the Garden of Eden. This first marriage, it sets the tone for all marriages. It gives us a picture of a true description of marriage. There are four things that we will look at together tonight. First of all, the provision of marriage. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, it teaches us that marriage is honorable. It is an honorable institution. God himself has placed a special honor upon it. It was not a man or an angel that brought Eve to Adam. In Genesis 2 and verse 22, we are told that the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. You see, Eve was no afterthought in the mind of God. She was not a footnote at the bottom of the page of creation. Eve was in the heart of God long before she was taken from the side of Adam. In chapter 1 and verse 27, we learn that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Indeed, marriage was the first ordinance that God instituted. It was the first thing that God did after the first man and the first woman were created, and while they were still in an unfallen state. All other ordinances were instituted outside paradise. Marriage was instituted within paradise, in the happiest place, indicating to us how happy they are that marry in the Lord. So clearly, marriage is God's provision for mankind. From the beginning, marriage is God's way. It is described for us in Proverbs chapter 2 and the verse 17. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 17. Speaking here of an unfaithful wife who forsakes her husband, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. In other words, this woman who is unfaithful, she forgets the marriage covenant. Marriage is described as God's covenant. So God the Father has honored marriage by instituting it in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. God the Son has honored marriage. He has honored marriage by His miracles. The first supernatural sign that the Lord wrought was at the marriage in Cana of Galilee when He turned the water into wine. The Lord honored marriage not only by His miracles, but also by His parables. He compared the kingdom of God to a marriage in Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 2. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And we see also in this 22nd chapter how the Lord not only compared the kingdom of God to a marriage, He compared salvation to a wedding garment. Verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. God the Father honored marriage. God the Son has honored it. And God the Holy Spirit has honored it. He has used it as a picture of the union which is between the Lord and His church. We go to Ephesians chapter 5. And verses 31 and 2. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So we are seeing, men and women, that the triune God has set His seal on the honorableness of marriage. Sometimes people speak of marriage, a marriage being made in heaven. Well, we can truly say that marriage as an ordinance of God has been made in heaven. It all began in paradise. It is of sacred and divine origin, ordained of God as the foundation and the bond of family life. The provision of marriage. Well, then, secondly, we come to the procedure in marriage. Notice in Genesis 2 and verse 22 that God made only one woman for Adam. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made He a woman, and brought her singular unto the man. Marriage is to be solemnized between one man and one woman. The verse 24 of the chapter says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And the Lord quoted this verse in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5. Now, if the procedure in marriage was that a man could have many wives, This was the moment for such a thing to happen. Give Adam many wives, and it will speed up the populating of the world. But that clearly was not the divine procedure. It was one man and one woman in holy wedlock. The departure from this standard came about by man's departure from God. We read about Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 16. Cain, he went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. In other words, Cain cast off the restraint of the fear of God. He renounced the way of godliness. He despised the way of the blood sacrifice and attempted to come to God by the way of his own works. And the outcome of all of this was seen in a departure from the divine procedure in marriage. Verse 19 of Genesis 4. Lamech took unto him two wives. He took to himself two wives. Here is the divine standard. One man and one woman. And every deviation from this standard, it is wrong. Oh, I know that it is fashionable for a union between two individuals to take place, to take one of many forms. I have with me in the pulpit tonight a pupil worksheet from the school classroom. And I know that around the schools in the province there are Christian teachers, and they're seeking to take their stand and to hold the fort and to use their influence for the good. But potentially, this is the kind of worksheet that is given to the pupils today. There are six sections to it, and the sheet is illustrating the different kinds of families for the pupils. And here we have Sarah and Harold, and they live with their mom and dad. But down here on the sheet we have Anne and Jack, and they live with their mom and her partner, Pauline. And so the children are being taught potentially that there are many different kinds of families, and all are equally valid, and it must not be said that any relationship is wrong, that it is inappropriate. Oh, such is the departure from God today, that the unspeakable is happening. That which God calls in His Word an abomination is happening. So-called marriage between man and man and woman, such are an affront to God and a blight on the land. It is unscriptural, unseemly, ungodly, and unnatural, men and women, from the authority of God's Word. Here is the procedure. It's one man and one woman married in the fear of the Lord. Well, then, thirdly, we think of the purpose in marriage. God is a God of order, of purpose. And the purpose of God in marriage falls into a number of areas. It's His purpose in this union that there be companionship. Look at Genesis chapter 2. Did you notice the wording in verse 18? Where the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." It's not good that he should be alone. Technically, Adam was not alone, for he was surrounded by the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. But there is an essential difference between man and the creature. Man is unique. Man has been made in the image of God. He is a spiritual being. Chapter 2 and verse 7 of Genesis tells us that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Man is a spiritual being. Man has been endowed and blessed with a living soul. Creatures being from the lower, inferior level of creation, they could not be a companion for man in the truest sense. Man was alone, and God saw that such was not good for him. I'm sure maybe in your street or your townland, there are those who live alone, and they feel that loneliness ever so keenly. And I wonder, do you think about them? Maybe you call with them and brighten up their evening and enter in with them in conversation. David said in Psalm 119 and verse 74, "They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word." There's many a lonely person in the street where you live or your townland, and they would be glad to see you, especially that you're a Christian and you can bring the word of God and comfort and strength to them in their loneliness. But having said that, have you ever thought of the loneliness that surrounded Adam? He was in isolation. There was not another person that he could speak with. There was no one to share his thoughts with. He was in total loneliness. And God saw that that was the case. And oh, how mindful God is of our needs. Hagar was away out in the wilderness, and she said, and so can we, "Thou God seest me." And God's all-seeing eye saw Adam in his loneliness in the Garden of Eden and supplied a need that he had. God saw that two are better than one and provided him companionship in Eve. Man needs someone to talk with, to walk with, to share the burdens and the blessings of life with, to confide in. And in the marriage union, praise the Lord, there is this wonderful companionship. That's one of the purposes in marriage. Another purpose is completion. Some men might not like this mentioned, but men, we are incomplete without the woman. There was a part of Adam missing when he was without Eve. He was like a violin without a bow. A violin without a bow, what use is it? It's incomplete. And here we read in verse 18 that the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And this word, helpmeet, it indicates the lack, the need that the woman supplied. Eve was a special provision, perfectly suited in every way to Adam, corresponded with him in every detail. And you see how Adam acknowledges that in verse 23. "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." She corresponded to him physically, emotionally, socially, intellectually, and spiritually. Adam and Eve became one flesh. Apart from her, Adam was incomplete. And in their marriage, he was completed. We can only say, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. But another purpose is the continuation of the human race. In Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Marriage is God's plan for the continuance of humanity. It's the purpose of God that children be brought into the world within the security, the stability, the love, and the discipline that the marriage bond provides. The name Eve means the mother of all living. Society today is so far from God. Cohabiting is on the increase, with the resulting confusion, the undisciplined children, the extension of which is lawlessness prevailing in every hand. Oh, for a revival, an awakening, a bringing of society back to God's ways. For as for God, His way is perfect. Man's way is the way to ruin. The provision of marriage, the procedure in it, the purpose in it. Finally, the permanence of marriage. Someone said marriage is like a besieged city. Everyone on the outside is trying to get in. And everyone on the inside is trying to get out. Well, tragically, many marriages break up. God intends that marriage be permanent. We see this in the first marriage in Genesis 2 and verse 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The parent-child relationship, it's temporary. The husband-wife relationship, it is permanent. There is to be a leaving and then a cleaving. And the word for cleave in the New Testament, it means to be glued together. As two pieces of wood are glued together and become one, so does man and woman become one in marriage. It's until death us do part. And this is where the seriousness of such a union is seen. It's for life. And that's why marriage is not to be entered into by any lightly, thoughtlessly, rashly. In the word helpmeet, there is the thought of suitableness, meetness in character, in interests, in outlook, above all, spiritually. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 39 speaks of Christians marrying only in the Lord. Marrying only in the Lord. Young person, you have to live with your choice. And therefore marriage is no light matter. It should only be entered into after careful thought and prayer. We have the Lord's guidance, young folk, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, when the Bible speaks of being not unequally yoked together. In Bible times, plowing was done with the yoke. Two oxen would have that wooden frame around their necks. They would be yoked together. But an unequal yoke, a ridiculous illustration of it would be an ox and an elephant. What a mismatch. And what a mismatch it is in marriage. If the unsaved and the person who professes Christ are yoked, it doesn't happen in our churches, for it is not scriptural. That kind of marriage will never be performed in this building in Market Hill. It's the worst possible foundation for a marriage when two are not walking together in agreement spiritually. Nothing can dissolve marriage scripturally but adultery. The sin of the adulterer breaks the contract and makes the marriage null and void. In Matthew 19 and verse 9, we have the words of the Lord Himself. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Scripture there is clear, it's plain. But when we follow this divine blueprint, then our marriages will be as those made in heaven, in Eden, in paradise, a happy union. As we have noted, marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. The church is the Lord's bride. The Lord is the bridegroom. And when Adam was asleep, God did a wonderful work, forming Eve out of his rib. What a work. But when Christ died on the cross, the work of man's redemption was wrought. Salvation was purchased. And the scriptures tell us that the angels, they look into this work with wonder and amazement. The angels are held in rapture as they see God in Christ at the cross, reconciling sinners to Himself. And I wonder tonight as we close this meeting, are you united to Christ? Can you say of Him, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine? Oh, here is your great need, to be united with Christ, to be in Him, to belong to Him, to have on the wedding garment, to be ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's only those who are born again of the Spirit and washed from their sins in the blood of Christ that will go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, if you're not the Lord's, why not? Why is it that you're without Christ tonight and perishing in your sin? Oh, flee. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee to the gospel. Flee to the cross. None can perish there. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. And could we say, if the Lord has spoken to your heart and there is a spiritual need not met as yet, then do feel free to speak to us at the door or to your minister, to the Christian you're with. What an opportunity to seek the Lord to be saved in this meeting. Our loving eternal Father, how we thank Thee that Thou hast given to us light in the midst of the darkness of our time. We see gross darkness upon society. We see men and women doing that which is right in their own eyes. But Thou hast given to us Thy precious Word. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us all to take heed to the Word of God, to delight in its truth, and to walk in its precepts. We know, Lord, that Thou art mindful of man, and we do thank Thee for the provision of scriptural marriage. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt enable us to meditate upon these things, and grant our Father that in this evil day we will see an overthrow of the powers of godlessness and wickedness in this society, and may we see righteousness and truth living and reigning again among our people. Lord, send Thy Word and heal the land. So be with us this week. Close us in with Thee and teach us, Lord, more concerning Thy blessed ways. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.